I got 6:35.
I'll be back.
Alderman Funkhauser, Alderman Torullis, and Alderman Cope present. Assuming there's no citizens' comments. Minutes for correction / approval for July 16, 2019. Good. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Okay. Item 1, new business PW 2019-54, Grand Reserve Unit 2- bond release.
Oh, that's me? Fantastic. So what this is the release of the bond after the one-year warranty period. All their punch list items have been complete, and we're recommending full release of the remaining performance security in the value of $124,225.41.
Good. Chris?
They're satisfactorily completed.
Okay. So that'll move on to City Council.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Item 2, PW 2019-55, Grand Reserve Unit 5 bond release.
Same as Grand Reserve Unit 2. They have come to the end of their one-year warranty period. All of their punch list items have been satisfactorily completed. And we're recommending the release of the remaining security in the value of $109,456.65.
Good. Okay, take the council. Item 3, PW 2019-56, Casey's letter of credit release.
Similar to Grand Reserve, they have reached the end of their one-year warranty period. All of their punch list items have been completed satisfactorily, and we are recommending the full release of the remainder of their performance security in a value of $7,603.80.
Good.
Good.
Okay. That's good. Item 4, as goes to council as well. PW 2019-57, well number 4, auto transformer purpose.
Yes. Purchase. What we have here is a small but yet very expensive piece of our starter motor for our well 4. And we have replaced this part. It was originally installed new in 06. We replaced it once, and it's bad, going bad again, so we need to replace it again. So instead of replacing it with the same part over and over, we'd like to upgrade to a solid-state unit, which operates at a higher frequency, which, from what I am told, is much easier, smoother, and more reliable than the normal auto transformers that are in there.
Makes sense to me.
And this will be the third purchase. The original at $11,000, we replaced one at $11,000 and another for $11,000, so we're almost at that price anyway.
Is that I know it referenced that it had two issues, and is that what the memo was referring to?
Correct.
Replacements, okay.
Yeah.
So the
and what happens is it will not engage the starter on the well, so the well will not start.
So when it says auto transformer failing twice since 2004 is when the well came on, but
right.
Subsequently, when
right.
You said 2006 and then some other time
right. Correct.
Is when it actually
failed.
So it's been replaced twice.
This will be the second replacement.
This will be the second
replacement. Yeah, so it's failed and been replaced twice, but it's failed more often than that. It's just sometimes they can fix
it's
it.
It's not needed
yeah.
to be replaced. Since
correct.
One of the times, I think it went out when one of the Autumn Creek ones was down for rehab.
Correct.
Right?
It was not very friendly. It was kind of scary because the well would not start, so we had
to. So this is not a typical purchase process that's we go through. Is this a proprietary piece of equipment, or is it
a piece of an Eaton system? Okay. Is why we are going
and
with
Eaton. So it is only Eaton that can provide this.
Well, I am sure there's others somewhere. I don't know if I would like somebody else in that cabinet put in a part that's not an Eaton part in this cabinet.
Well, they you probably wouldn't get them to assume any responsibility
or liability.
All right.
I just want to make sure, because obviously this is a very high
it is.
Purchase and price for a yeah. small piece.
It is on a small piece, but I think in the grand scheme of things, with these being close to $3 or $4 million treatment plants, you know, yes, it's an expensive
right.
part, but it's
right.
it's an integral part to starting the motor.
And this section that's being referenced, Chapter 173.1A, does cover this allowance, Bart? That's
sorry, say that again?
The section that's referenced.
The sole source bid.
Sole source.
Oh, yeah.
So this even though it's not proprietary.
Correct.
You know, we can go through and...
Yeah, because it wasn't competitively bid, the default is, then it just requires a supermajority.
Supermajority. Okay.
Which happens.
I just want to make sure, because the language here is a little different than some of the others. Yeah. I know when we're under contract for somebody, we can continue to extend contracts,
sure.
That kind of thing.
But with this being parts, it's a little different.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the difference first was, Kerry had cited the different sections of the statute and did a little bit more research on it than we normally do,
just to make sure.
Due diligence.
Yeah, just to make sure.
What's the warranty on the new solid state one? How long do you get on operation?
We were hoping over 10 years.
But they'll, if it
for warranty, I don't know about full warranty. It's probably a year warranty on the parts and labor.
Really?
Yeah. When you're dealing with such high electric voltage, they can't warranty it like forever just because ComEd, they don't know if they're going to feed us constant juice. I think, right. think that's what happens is sometimes they get inconsistent feeds from electricity.
Yeah, I thought maybe you'd get more of a warranty with the new one.
I don't think so. I'll look, Ken. I will look for the warranty.
Yeah, because I think I bought one of these and it was 60-some thousand at Fermi. So.
Yeah, so after your... I'll look here at the Eaton's real quick.
But I would think...
1 year from date of installation or 18 months from the date of shipment of the product, whichever occurs first.
That's the Eaton one?
Yeah.
Or the solid-state one?
Yeah.
How much was that worth?
The warranty period? One year from date of install or 18 months from shipment.
Yeah, because it's a 10-week lead.
And there's some other, language in there. There's special warranties.
There was a time where you wouldn't be able to get a solid-state one to do this, so
correct.
They've come a long ways.
Long ways.
And there are others in our area, the treatment plants, that have these that are functional or not?
I don't know about solid-states. They looked at our other ones when they were out there, and they said they're... I mean, we've had no problems with 7 or with 8 and 9, so it's just been this one. So that's why we're wondering if it's not
use-based
power, and then the issues in solid state will reduce that because it operates at that much higher frequency, constant frequency.
So actually, we don't know for certain that this is going to remedy it.
If it's a problem, right.
100%.
What's the cost difference between option 1 that was provided and option 2 that we're looking at? So the other was
much cheaper, but that's what it is. They're throwaway. There's no anything to them. That's what we're
so
on.
So we got $20,000+ that we know we have to do
on our third one.
We're
as
looking
well,
to,
of that same part.
Yeah. But no guarantee that this will work.
No, but
it.
That's what everybody is saying is that this should resolve your problem. Nobody's going to give you 100%. Yes, this will. They're saying that it should solve your problem.
Yeah, I wonder if it's a surge problem or something.
We've had meters on there, monitors, and they're allowed there 10%.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
If it's 9.9 for a long time, does it wear on it? I don't know. And if it's under voltage, I guess it's a lot worse for the big motors.
Yeah, under voltage is actually worse.
Right.
Your computer at home's
can
get damaged much more
under voltage.
Yep. It's turning it back on and off again.
Yeah, so that's what this operates at a more constant, they said. So that's hopefully why they're even suggesting it. Otherwise, it's much cheaper just to replace it with an in-kind. But they are suggesting the solid state to try to get away from the replacements.
In the Eaton memo, they refer to wells 3 and 4. We're only dealing with 4, though, correct?
Correct. At the time, it's the same. For 3 and 4, it was the same motor starter.
Okay. So, we're going to have the same issue with that one, or it's just that one if we need to do it?
It's a well 3 and 4 treatment facility.
Okay.
That's why it was called that. Well 3 is now abandoned.
Okay. So, that's not even an issue.
An issue.
The solid state one, does it switch to a. Like a backup if there's power outage or...?
There's no backup generator at that site.
Okay.
So it just shuts off. It just... Often it's got a backspin protection for 30 minutes and it can't restart.
Oh.
The well actually is a backspin. The impellers let the water back down. So you can't start it again. It'll shear the impellers off.
Chris?
I'm good with it.
You good with it, Sierra? How about you, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's as good as we're going to get. We don't have a definitive answer if it's going to long-term be the solution, but it deals with the problem.
Yeah. Well, my hunch will tell me that we'll find that out sooner than later, probably, if it isn't.
Yeah.
If there's another issue.
Yeah. Where we, you know, after having eaten out multiple times during the past few years, this is what their suggestion is.
Yeah, I guess needs to go forward.
Okay.
Okay. Item 5, PW 2019-58, hydrant flushing.
Short memo here, kind of a little outline of what we did, what we have done, and what we're doing now. And I know you can't see this. I don't know if you want to set it on the table or if you want me to just kind of go through the motions here. We have 4 individual pressure zones here at the city.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to flush each one correctly, you flush each zone at a time and flush it completely. So right here we have the Grand Reserve Treatment Plant. This is our main supplier. This is our big supply for this whole entire pressure zone. So you start with this and kind of follow the large mains and follow the houses until you get back to the end of this each zone. And by doing that, you're always pulling fresh water through the pipes. You're never like backtracking dirty water where you're flushing at a different hydrant. You always try to stay even, so you do have to jump back and forth on streets just to kind of keep everything even, so you pull all the older water out and keep everything fresh behind you. This one ends at the Kennedy Road PRV and down by the post office. There's just a valve where they tie together. It's kind of our emergency valve, so if we have to, we can open that one. And then again, over here at the PRV station by Home Depot, there's a little booster PRV station that's right on Cannonball Trail. So this whole area has been flushed and has been done. Then we moved to these two areas here, which is Zone 4 and Zone 3. Zone 4 is down in Raintree, fed by Raintree, so that's where we start. We work out from the tower and then up to McDonald's, has a PRV station there. And then we work all the way back to past the Raintree booster station. And that's where we kind of end the Country Hills, Raintree, Wendat Ridge, all of that gets kind of portioned off, and all the way down to Prestwick at the dead end by the school. So once that one's done, we moved to Pressure Zone 3, which is the old South Tower. Back by the County Highway building, that has no well. That gets fed from the high zone here in Raintree. So this is a very small zone. It's in the industrial park, Sunflower, and Greenbrier only, and Wildwood 1 and 2. So what this one does, we just take it, and we just flush those to the ends of the subdivision and flush out the west end of Sunflower. Those are all done, and then we saved the most complicated one for last, which is Well 4, so that's where we start. Move out to the east towards Salmonock Street, McHugh, Heartland Circle, Heartland. Move all that out to Autumn Creek, our Crimson Lane right here by the post office. And then we do the same thing in Countryside and move it all up Anderson Court right at the very end. And we're on our last leg now out to Fox Hill. There's a big 16-inch water main that runs through the back of the football field here, out through Cimarron Ridge, through the jail. So we're working that 16-inch all the way out, and we'll follow it all the way to Fox Hill and branch off and just get the ends of those. I think this came up as a Ward 2 meeting, wasn't it? That's something they wanted, an informational meeting.
Yeah, Jackie and Joe had went to one of the Heartland
meetings. Yeah, right on Kate Drive, I believe, was the...
So, I mean, that's our standard schedule. So we try to hit each zone once a year?
We try to do north and south, once in spring, one in fall. This year we had summer help, so we just went through.
And then how often do we flush based on, you know, complaints or calls or...
Great question. Grand Reserve North, we end up flushing. Fox Hill Unit 7 we flush. Prestwood we flush. The dead ends that are in the very far reaches of the system. Sometimes they have large capacity mains that don't get used enough. So we end up going out there, and even in Bristol Bay, we will run a hydrant here just to circulate enough fresh water, because that 16-inch comes all the way from Grand Reserve, and then there's 1 million gallons in that tank as well, so we make sure to turn the water over.
And that happens?
Monthly.
Okay.
sometimes bi-monthly, depends on the season. In the summer season, it's much less frequent because people are using more water. The winter season, it's definitely monthly. Mm.
When we're flushing, are we tracking flow?
The SCADA tracks it. It tracks gallons used. And so from each, the average day.
But from each location, we're tracking. We're not doing that. Are they sampling for odor, color, or any
color,
other from each
odor,
of the different areas?
And then chlorine residual.
Okay.
So they,
now
they,
is that done, being done at each source?
Each hydrant.
Each hydrant. So we're hydrant. And we're logging and tracking that.
It just logged on X. We're done with that one. We have clear. We're odorless, and we have chlorine residual. We move to the next one.
That doesn't get logged in somewhere for tracking to see if there are any issues anywhere?
No, but it was a summer help that was flushing. So if there was a problem, that person would call, a seasoned staff member and go over if there was any issue. Like, we've been running this one for 45 minutes and it won't clear up. So then we would have a situation used to happen all the time in the countryside. You'd have to isolate valves, flush out one main, then go and flush out the other main. Otherwise, we would sit in front of Safari, honestly, for probably 2 hours flushing the water. Just to try to get it cleaned up from all the iron from the rust.
So what do we do when we're done flushing all of it? Obviously, the SCADA system knows how much we flushed through, but the rest of the data, we don't have.
Really, the data is there's really not data such as, your chlorine residual at each hydrant. We take chlorine residual daily. And then again, monthly, we have 23 sample points throughout town that we use. Random points, like just everywhere, and we have monthly testing by the EPA.
And right now, I know you mentioned in your memo that you've looked at a couple different scenarios on how to flush. What's the current procedure?
The current procedure is every hydrant. That's the thorough flush that we're looking for, especially when we're trying, I don't know if you remember a couple months ago, we were looking at the Oraclay. Chemical. Mm-hmm. There'll be another flush this fall just for that, to try to get that out, and that's kind of what we set it up for. So we will have another flush to try to get that iron out.
There'll be citywide flush?
Yeah.
We're gonna do every hydrant?
Every hydrant.
What do you think, it'll be October, November?
October. We usually try to do it when it's not freezing at night.
Yeah. Great idea.
Makes sense. So was there issues at the HOA meeting or something that brought this up?
I think it was just a question from residents, hey, I think my water is bad. What are you doing for flushing? That type of a scenario. I think that Joe, who was at the meeting, knew enough about it to explain it, and I think maybe they were doubting his answer, like that we were actually flushing or something. So he asked that we, provide some of this information so that it's, out there, and that he can take whatever bits and pieces back that he didn't know to them.
Yeah, because I think some the residents, if they don't see it being flushed every year,
right,
they're assuming that it's not being done.
Right.
So the reason I was kind of asking about some of the statistics is there a report that we can send out on the flushing after it's been done, or publish it online.
Like out with the bill. Inlet.
Something to show that, zone one's been flushed, we've completed it, 350 hydrants, put a little bit
sure.
of it.
Yeah, the narrative would be easy to do.
Yeah. It wouldn't have to be much, but then at least it shows, yes, we have worked through. It falls through with our,
You do it once, too, then it's pretty much just changing the date on there when you do the flushes.
Yep.
That's a lot easier on the part two, then it's not a big deal like you do the first time.
And what we have done this year was a really good year for it, too, is we use social media to let people know where we were flushing. Mm-hmm. So they had a good idea. We bought, instead of the big sandwich board signs, we bought real estate size signs. And we bought 10 of them, I think. Mm-hmm. So we'd stick them at multiple locations so they couldn't really get into or out of the subdivision without
seeing. Oh, great idea.
I saw some.
Yeah. And it would be, we talk about we're going to flush an area. They don't think people understand how that flushing is going to work through. You see in other communities, hydrant flushing is very general. They put it in that neighborhood.
Right, yeah.
But you might see that sign up there for 3 weeks.
Right, and that's why the summer employee that did it picked them up every day.
Mm-hmm.
And we put them out every day. Not just for that reason. They get legs and get stolen, to be honest. But then he could move them where he needed to start in the morning. And we'd give him the area. say, put the signs here, 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 here. Go flush.
Flush it. Yeah, we really want to do that when we do this chemical one, I think.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be a big PR one for
yeah, we definitely want PR on that.
Do we put a... I don't really look at the hydrant flushing when it's put online, but do we put a graphic on it when we do it?
No, I think Aaron just... I think the one time it was just like a hydrant flowing water, or it's a hydrant flushing, like in a cartoon thing.
But if you were to click to it, is there by chance a map that we...
I don't think there was.
Okay.
Yeah, I think did it list it by subdivision, though?
Or it might have been, in Heartland today, or in Grand Reserve today. I'd have to look.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I think that's
good, John.
Good update for now.
Perfect. Probably can find it on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
All right. Move on to item 6, PW 2019-59, Material Storage Shed Bid Award and Budget Amendment.
Well, Carrie put a lot of work into this, so thank you very much. We did have a good competitive bid. The low bidder was Light Construction at, I believe, $249. Mm-hmm. So far, there was nothing, no abnormalities in the bid. This was not budgeted this year. I want to make that clear. But I think Rob has explained the budget amendment very well in here to find the funds for this.
What's the second low bid?
I would have to look at the bid tab itself. $252.
Wow.
Versus $247.
That's close.
Yeah.
And then
2%.
Yeah. So it was a very competitive bid. And then we did have one at $340. Just a basically lump sum bid at $340. There wasn't a breakdown on it.
Yeah.
They used the wrong bid.
Oh, wrong bid form.
So they maybe did bid.
They're excluded.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying they probably didn't bid it like they thought they should have, probably.
For 100 grand, we exclude them.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Take the count. This is going to be a 6-9 on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Super majority vote. Did you have anyone that...
My only comment is I'm not keen on our method of funding it in terms of deferring the couple of projects. I understand it, but I disagree with it. I know this is something we need to look at getting done, but I do disagree with the methods of funding for this year.
Just a point on that, that always can be changed. Yeah. So we always can reverse course on a budget amendment or make one decision and then change our minds and do something else different. So.
Has to be done. I'm just I hate to see us deferring planning money, though.
We'll talk about that item tomorrow
night. Okay. I think we're all in agreement. It has to be done.
Yeah.
So we'll pursue with that. What's the schedule for that then, you think?
If approved by council next Tuesday, I think we have a deadline.
So it could be next
1st.
Tuesday. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. We have a build deadline of November 1st, so we can get solved for the upcoming year.
Okay. Item 7, PW 2019-60, Mill Road Land Acquisition Plats Identification.
So these are the final bits of the land acquisition for the two eastern parcels on Mill Road. So these are minor strips of right-of-way adjacent to Mill Road. It allows us to construct the permanent improvement and will speed the pavement rehab that we're doing too. So we have already cut the checks, signed the agreements, and this is the last step, is just recording the plat identification for the land sale.
Cool. Yeah, that's just for 1 and 2. Number 3 is part of the swap we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, we have verbal agreement with them. We requested that they hold off, though, until we figured out what's going on with the Kendall County proposal.
Okay.
All right.
Take it to council.
All right, old business. Item 1, PW2018-102, East Alley Parking Lot Update.
Oh, no good. We have put together a grant of easements document, and that would be for the access on the east side of Lot 5. We've sent that easement document to Julie Schlichting, and she's going to review, and they're going to finalize it on their end. So that's where we're at with that.
So we would expect it to be okay for approval on Tuesday next week?
I think so. I'll double check with that.
And I know that we had communicated within the memo that we would anticipate that the improvements would be done in 3 to 4 weeks on the top end. We were trying to figure out a way if there's a way that we can do it sooner or some of it sooner. So Imperial Investments has been open to us installing this, so they should be motivated to.
Good.
How does this overlay with the other easement that was already on the site?
It ended up being almost congruent, but not fully. And so that was something we looked at. And then additionally, I think what caused us to just go this route was there was some question as to whether the agreement itself for that easement was still valid and whether it was clear enough to be fully implemented. And so we said, this is just a lot easier. Yeah, we're just going to prepare the exhibit. Both parties are like, yeah, this sounds good.
Do we have to vacate that other easement at all, or no?
I didn't ask Brad about that yet.
So. It may be something for cleanup we might
and
need
Julie,
to do.
I don't know if he said anything to you
he
about
did,
it.
But I'll inquire tomorrow.
Yeah, let's
with,
check them and see if there is something. If it's not valid, it's not valid, but maybe we need to clear it.
Sure.
Might be something that hangs out on a title somewhere. And
mm-hmm.
Okay. Glad to see this happening finally.
Okay. Go ahead and take a pencil. Item 2, PW2019-52, Galena Road, Kennedy Road, Mill Road.
We threw this on the agenda just in case there was any public discussion that we wanted to have without the county presence. If there were, things that were only city-specific, or if there's no need, we can just skip it. So just wanted to keep it on as a placeholder.
Yeah, I kind of want to look through this a little more now. You got it. I think before I could ever, you knew a little more about it maybe than
I've had a couple conversations with some county staff on that one, so it's good information, definitely. But we'll see how it pans out.
Sounds like there's a red light going there, from what I see.
On our side or on the...
No, on Galena.
So, yeah, I would agree that that's probably the best for them. And on our side...
There's a lot of variables on our side.
Yeah. Do we want to get into a roundabout there? Do we want to just keep the stop sign? Or ultimately, it's going to be lighted, but that's not for another 20 years.
Right.
So, yeah. All right.
Okay. Item 3, PW2019-53, Mill Road Resurfacing.
Same concept as the last one. We threw it on the agenda just in case if there were any questions. So I think the direction that we received at the last meeting was that everybody was okay with the bid as is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seaver, good. Yeah. All right. Let's take that forward to the... Any additional business? If not, meeting adjourned 7:04.
Thank you.